Well, it's still the 4th of July, approximately 5:30 p.m. and I'm down on the foreshore of Castle Bay in Barra. And a particular feature that's been established over the past, I guess, not so many years, just maybe a few years, is usage of the foreshore, a particular bit of foreshore that wasn't being used for anything in particular, just beautiful wild plants. And someone, I can't remember the girl's name, but she, I think she established this, and it's called the Herring Walk, and it's detailing the history of the herring industry that was here in Castle Bay on Barra all those years ago. And what's been done is they have plaques at the beginning and the end of it, and approximately every 50-60 yards along this pathway, as it were, there are a set of three barrels, and the three barrels have the barrel tops, as it were, in stainless steel, have been carved, engraved with the details of what went on with the herring industry. Two barrels are in Gaelic. I don't know why two barrels are in Gaelic and one is in English, but unless it's a different form of Gaelic. I really should ask someone, or maybe I should have asked someone before I started this particular talk. But let's go and walk to the first set of barrels, and I'll read out what it says on the Herring Walk in Castle Bay. Okay, so I've reached the first set of barrels. I'm just going to confirm what it says here. Yes, they're definitely the first two barrels are in Gaelic, but with different titles, which kind of confuses me. Anyway, in English, the first barrel says Herring and History, and engraved around the top of this lid, as it were, for the barrel, stainless steel lid for the barrel, are various depictions of herring swimming in the water. Oh. And what it says is, at the turn of the 20th century, Scotland was at the heart of the largest fishing industry in the world, the herring fishery. In 1869, the fish merchant James Methuen, strange name, developed Castle Bay's natural harbour into one of the most productive herring ports in Scotland. In Barra, the herring season would run from the start of May until the end of June. Castle Bay would be a hype of industry, with curers, coopers, herring girls and fishermen all engaged in industry. At its peak, over 600 boats would fish from the island. Can you believe that you would have been able to walk from here to Vatersea across the boats that were anchored in the bay? I can confirm this by photographs, by the way, up in the Heritage Museum. So anyway, fishermen would come from far and wide to catch Castle Bay herring, which was world renowned for its quality and superior taste. East Coast fish curers would return to the island every summer, setting up their own curing stations around the bay. Can you see the remains of the stations? These stone structures supported the wooden jetties where the boats landed their catch. At one time there were more than 40 stations. How many can you count now? I can confirm that I have seen those stations. There's one immediately in front of these three barrels. You would recognise it probably just as an outcrop that had concrete poured over it to make a solid base, as it were, to work from. And I've already seen, probably in my own eyes, about 12 or so far. In fact, there is actually one in front, immediately in front of our accommodation. So there you go. We'll walk on to the next barrel. Well, here we are at the second set of barrels. Impact and improvement. The population of Barra increased during the summer months and Castle Bay prospered as a result. New houses were built, and a bank, hotel and shops were opened. Did you know that the church, Our Lady Star of the Sea, was built to accommodate the influx of people coming to the island to work at the herring fishing? The church stands in a prominent position overlooking the bay, acting as a beacon to the fishermen. I'll tell you now, that's the Roman Catholic Church, the one we will be attending at the weekend, and it does, you cannot miss this beautiful church standing way up on top of everything else in the town. Anyway, and I'll explain that some of the writing here is faded, the paint in the writing's faded, so apologies if I mess up a wee bit as I go along. Before 1884, the island had to rely solely on the postal service as the main channel of communication Therefore, the fish merchants on Barra were at a severe disadvantage compared to their UK and European competitors who had access to speedy telegraph links. After a long and hard-fought campaign, the UK government finally agreed to extend the telegraph line to the island. This improved the economic prospects of the fish merchants. In addition, the local community also benefited greatly from the service. One wonders how long would it have taken for Barra to be granted the telegraph service if the island didn't have the powerful representatives of the herring trade leading the cause? Good question. A very good question. Sun has come out now, by the way. Skies have cleared. Still a strong wind, as you may hear. But what a difference. It's brightened the whole evening up. Let's go to the next set of barrels. Another feature of this herring walk, as it were, is the community have created these semi-circular protective walls with seating areas, and in this one in particular, in front of that semi-circular seating area is a circular, I'd say about 10 foot across, circular ornate stone used from the local stone, which has amazing colours and veins. It's be honest with you, it's not the stone I see around about me, but it must be what happens once it's broken up and cut. But it's a beautiful colours, especially in the sunlight, and glinting like gneiss and granite. But inside this big stone circle is a beautiful tiled plaque depicting many things about the music, housing, the church, the sailors. And then immediately in the inner circle, as it were, is a tiled area which says Isle of Barra, Battersea, with a harp, fish, the herring of course, scallops, puffins, the fishermen, the Caledonian McBrain ferry, the flyby aeroplane that lands on the beach, sailing ships, and Kismo Castle. Very well done, absolutely colourful. I've taken a photograph of this, I might use this as a lead photograph for this audio. But I must say, they've done a fantastic job of this. It's absolutely beautiful. And I guess a lot of tourists might just drive past and never come down to the foreshore and see this. Anyway, on to the next set of barrels. Well, I believe this is the third set of barrels. And this is about women and work. And it says, the herring industry gave employment to the local women who became herring girls. They would work in groups of three called a crew. Two would gut the fish and the other would pack the herring in the barrels, coating each layer of salt. The girls would work outside in all weathers. Their backs would ache and their hands would be covered in cuts caused by the sharp knives. Think of the pain they suffered as salt seeped into their sore wounds. And a big emphasis here of ouch. Despite the hard working conditions, many say their days as a herring girl were the best days of their lives. When the Castle Bay season finished, the girls would often be hired by curers to follow the herring. They would travel to the north of the country and then down the east coast, ending up in places like Great Yarmouth and Lowestoft in England. There you go. I guess maybe a few of those girls would probably end up staying down there. That's my words, by the way. That's what's written here. These trips introduced the girls to a whole new world. The herring industry gave women an opportunity to be independent. They returned home to Barra with new ideas and new ways of thinking that would begin to change the way of life on the island. I guess it would, actually. Yeah. Maybe more independent ladies, girls, women. Let's go on to the penultimate, or it may actually be the last set of barrels. Well, you can scrub that last comment because there's actually more barrels than I originally thought there were. Anyway, on its own, a single barrel. Comfort and Care is the title. And it says, the Church of Scotland that you see in front of you, that's looking back inland, by the way, and immediately up in front of me, my eyesight from here, elevated about 100 feet. The Church of Scotland that you see in front of you would have been full of people at the time of the fishing. This is where most of the East Coast fishermen and curers would go to worship on Sundays. The building next to the church was the Fisherman's Rest, where the fishermen could relax and recuperate when they were not out at sea. And I'll tell you a wee story about that church, which I found out the day at the Heritage Museum, was that there, when it was being built, I think the minister at the time said he didn't want windows to actually be put in, although the arches were there for stained glass windows. He didn't want windows put in on the seaward side, looking across the bay. And two reasons were given for that. One was that he didn't want to be distracted by his wife calling him in on Sunday for dinner when he was trying to concentrate on his sermon. And the second one was, and I suspect this was one that originated from the Roman Catholic side of things, was that he didn't want his parishioners to see the Catholics having fun on Sunday. Take what you will out of that. Okay, so I'm now almost at the end of the Herring Walk, but another two barrels are adorned with one large plaque which covers the top of both barrels, and it is a map, a layout of the bay, and basically it's depicting the map of the herring curing stations in Castle Bay circa 1914 with the names of the curers who operated these. And if I quickly run round about them, starting from the east side and the most the furthest away outpost, and then coming in towards Castle Bay Harbour and then swinging round past me to the west side of the bay. We start with Jenkins, Wood, Bremner, Baird, Mackenzie, Jenkins, Achille, Bain, Jenkins, MacIver, Dunbar, Sinclair and Buchan, Mitchell, Peary, WS and S Dixon, Anderson, Slater, Cormark, Innes and May. And these barrels are actually sitting directly on top of, probably I'd say about the biggest herring station base that I've seen in all the ones I've seen. Including some iron railings for, they must have had to be able to pull carriages from the water's edge off the herring boats and pull the herring further inland. And when I say inland, I mean by maybe about 30 or 40 metres to get them back off the seafront. But this is a really big base and can still see the large anchor points for tying or tethering up the boats. So, it's hard to believe that there was so much going on here way back then. When you look at quite a quiet bay now with only a few yachts and the main ferry terminal and the castle and nothing else. Fishwise, even I have been here for a number of days and I haven't seen any large fishing boats coming at all. I don't even think they exist anymore. Anyway, let's go on to what is definitely the last set of barrels on Herring Walk. Okay, so here we are at the very last set of barrels on the Herring Walk. And these are titled Loss and Legacy. Today you would barely know that such a vibrant herring industry once existed on the island. Where did it go? The First and the Second World War brought about an abrupt decline in the herring industry. Many were called up to fight and women went to work in the ammunition factories. The introduction of trawl fishing began to destroy herring stocks. Barra fishermen set up the Sea League, to protest against the illegal trawling taking place in the Minch. However, the government failed to respond to their concerns and the seabed was extensively damaged. The herring trade ended, and this was difficult for the islanders who had depended on it for so long. The herring fishing has left a lasting impression on the island. The remains of the old stations around the bay remind us of the status that Castle Bay held among herring ports throughout the world. The industry had an impact on economic and social conditions on Barra. As we have discovered, our island was developed and improved in many ways. One thing is for certain. The island of Barra that we know today would not be what it is without the legacy of the herring fishing. Very poignant remark at the end. Because, as I said previously, to look around here and to imagine that you could walk across the decks of the boats from here to Watersee without getting your feet wet, and Watersee is not exactly just a half a mile away. It's a good old drive round the road. It's hard to believe. I mean, I'm trying to mentally picture this bay being absolutely full of boats and all these herring stations, the herring base stations, pulling the stuff out of the boats. There were that many boats that were probably queuing up to get served, as it were. Incredible, incredible. And now it's just a tourist attraction and no work. But there you go, life moves on. So I hope you've enjoyed a wee walk with me along the herring walk in Castle Bay on Barra. God's been good to me to give me some decent weather to do this. I was expecting to get poured upon, but it's been really nice and really pleasant to do, and I'm glad I've done it. It's really nice, and I have it for my own records anyway. So to stand back, looking back across the bay from the west side to the east side, and I see the church high on the ground, and the main ferry terminal, and a quiet wee town that must have been buzzing, absolutely buzzing way back in those days. Bye for now.